Welcome and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. To ask a question during the question-and-answer session, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. Now I will turn the call over to Mr. Chris Dittmer. Sir, you may begin.
Great. Thank you so much, Kelly, and thank you all for joining today. We're excited to talk to you about this new release of Maximo for Energy Optimization 7.1.1. My name is Chris Dittmer. I'm the market manager for Tivoli's energy efficiency and green solutions across the portfolio. We'll talk a little bit today about solutions that span the portfolio, but primarily we'll focus on the Maximo for Energy Optimization product, but certainly want to give you some guidance on other areas you might connect to or adjacencies you might make that seem to play well with this product. I also have on the line with me today Tom Saracen. Tom Saracen's a lead architect for the product, and will take us through some of the features of the product, as well as give us a short demonstration. To prepare for that, you may want to look at, when you go to the page that is linked to on the website where you can download the presentation and that sort of thing. There's also a link to a WebEx meeting, or Lotus Live meeting, I should say. And if you want to go ahead and be ready for that demo, I'm actually going to be advancing through the slides on that web presentation, and we'll be using that for the demonstration as well. But if you just have the charts, you can follow along with me until we get to the demo portion of the presentation. So if we want to flip ahead to chart two, you know, there's a lot of messages that IBM is sending today around our efforts to make the world smarter, right? And you see Smarter Planet is the primary marketing message going out from IBM right now. And today we'll be talking about a product that really plays well with that messaging. You see the kinds of issues that, you know, and target issues that we're hitting with these kinds of discussions around Smarter Planet. It's things like climate change and energy costs and availability, natural resource constraints, you know, a lot of sustainability type issues, a lot of green issues, a lot of energy management issues all roll into this offering, as well as some other areas we'll talk about around, you know, availability and that sort of thing as well even. So, you know, just to give you kind of the sense of, you know, the kinds of discussions where you might want to insert this product, I think, you know, any of these kinds of areas would be a focus. And I think when you see that, you start looking at, you know, who within the organization cares about these kind of issues, and that's going to be a good person to talk to around this product as well. When you flip ahead with me to chart three, you'll see that, you know, when you drill in a little bit more specifically on the energy and the carbon pieces of this, you see that buildings right now consume about 42% of energy, of all electricity produced on the planet. By 2025, buildings will be the largest emitter of greenhouse gases. So just giving you a few facts up front here to show you how the magnitude of these energy management challenges and sustainability challenges. The next one, 85% of companies are focused on this issue of sustainability and becoming more environmentally friendly and energy efficient and those sorts of things. So, but while 85% are concerned about it, only 30% are collecting the data that they need to impact operations. So, you know, I'll pause and tell a quick story about a customer that I was talking to that was working on a sustainability initiative and said, to put together the data that I need to understand how much energy is being used across my organization and which assets are driving them and that sort of thing, it took going to 23 different sources within his organization. This was a large defense contractor for the government. It took, you know, 23 different sources. So you look at that, and he said, by the time I went and collected all that data, the first source I went to was out of date already, so I really didn't have information. Even when I was able to get the information, it wasn't information I could really use effectively to go make any kind of change. And, you know, a lot of what we'll be talking about here is how you can get this data and, you know, on a near real-time basis and warehouse it and have access to it and tie it into your asset management processes and that sort of thing. So this particular pain point is one that I think we'll really hit on today. This last statistic called out here, in the UK, demand for electricity is expected to exceed both the current and planned capacity that they're working towards for 2020, and along with that, the consumer electricity prices are expected to increase about 25%. So you know, this is another one where you're talking about this issue of energy and you know, depending on who's talking about it or what their focus might be, one person might be concerned most about reducing carbon footprint and having a better environmental report to give to their shareholders. Another may be strictly worried about the fact that this energy is already a large portion of my budget and it's poised to go up by 25% or more. You know, it's one of the areas that is the least predictable for our clients. You know, if you ask them how many people they think they will employ next year and what their labor costs will be, they can probably tell you that with a 95% certainty. If you ask them what their energy costs are likely to be next year, not so much. And if you go out 5 years, you know, then the confidence level goes way down because we all realize that, you know, at any given time we could see energy spikes again or those sorts of things. So it's really an area where getting better management, becoming more efficient, also allows you to reduce some of the risks that you've got from a financial point of view. If we advance ahead to chart 4, you know, this, again, kind of along with the theme of Smarter Planet, what you see are the three pillars of Smarter Planet, really: instrumentation, interconnectedness, and intelligence. And what I think you'll see with the Maximo for Energy Optimization product is that it's almost a prototype of what Smarter Planet means within a single product. You actually have the instrumentation layer, so we can now go out. I mentioned the guy that had to go to 23 different sources of data to get the information he needed, and very manual, and spreadsheets, and utility bills, and all kinds of things. Now we can go out and instrument the assets and get that information in near real time. So you've got that instrumentation layer there where, you know, no longer am I running blind. So many organizations today are just running blind, and that's the thing that surprises me the most when I go and talk to customers is how little instrumentation that they have, or in many cases they have instrumentation, but they don't know what to do with it, which kind of gets us into the next couple of layers of Smarter Planet here. Say I've got instrumentation and I've got you know, different management systems out there giving me different kinds of information. What am I doing with that data? Oftentimes the data is sitting in silos somewhere. So one person has some great information on the air conditioning systems running a building, and another person has a great set of information on, you know, the water system in the building or some other pieces of it, but you rarely see all of this information brought into one consolidated place. And so that interconnectedness and bringing these siloed areas of information together is a big one. And then the last one is intelligence. So if I've got all these assets instrumented, I've got data flowing in, I've got it warehoused, and I can capture it and trend it and those sorts of things, what kinds of intelligent decisions can I make around that? And I think one of the things we'll be able to show you today is how this tool has some analytics built into it that can help you make intelligent decisions. I know, just to give you a little preview, we've run into situations where we've seen customers that had air conditioning units that were actually warming the air because the air going into the air conditioning units was already so cold because they had way too much capacity running that the air conditioner was actually, the air was coming out warmer than it was when it went in. So you run into those kinds of situations, and those are the ones that make you say, wow, some tooling like what we're going to talk about here can make a huge difference. And whether you know, when you look at this, whatever your motivation is for, and whatever your customer's motivation is for attacking these kinds of issues are, whether it is the green thing or the sustainability thing or the energy savings, you know, we can all agree that it's a bad situation when we're wasting resources, you know, both our company resources and the planet resources on running air conditioners that are actually providing zero benefit for the organization. So when you can find those kinds of things, it's really a win all the way around. So with chart 5, I want to introduce the product a little bit. So some of you may be familiar with Maximo for Energy Optimization. I'm going to assume that I need to bring you completely up to speed. This is a product that has been in market for just about a year now. This new version just came out in September. And there are a number of changes to it, and we'll kind of go through the what's new with the product. But I want to walk you through at a high level what the product does and what some of the key value propositions for it are. So, you know, the big focus of it is optimizing the energy efficiency of enterprise assets. So we, you know, within the product, you've got the instrumentation layer to go out and collect data from a lot of different sources, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But, you know, the general notion is that wherever you are across the enterprise, we've got a mechanism to collect data and bring it in, tie it to your assets, and with the goal being to both optimize the energy efficiency of those and extend the life of those assets. It also allows you to visualize this energy consumption, which is very relevant depending on the metric you're talking about and the space you're working in. The example that we've used primarily with the launch since the launch of it last year has been understanding temperature dynamics in a data center environment, because that is an area where the environmental conditions are very, very important. If you vary outside of a given temperature, you may lose your entire data center. But there are similar applications or similar types of situations in other areas. So, you know, you may have equipment running in a factory floor situation that has to have a certain humidity, or else you'll start to get sparks, you know, within the equipment, so that the equipment can't run properly. So humidity tolerances, you know, you may have carbon monoxide sensors, and you want to make sure and visualize where the carbon monoxide is flowing so that you don't have safety issues. If it's flowing outside of the areas that it should be in, or if it's above a certain concentration, that could be a safety issue. So there are really a whole host of ways in which visualizing this kind of instrumented data can be valuable. And I guess my approach to this would almost be to imagine if I could collect data on anything and visualize it anywhere, then this tool will probably do that. So if there's a metric that would be relevant for a customer, you know, if they want to see a factory floor line and they want to see how much power is being consumed across that whole line visually and see where the most power is being consumed at any given time, you could do that. You know, if they want to see the same factory, maybe if I shut down a whole line, I'm not running any of the equipment anymore, I want to go through and see a map to show me, am I still using power? Because you have situations where all the workers went home, you know, or you shut down an entire line of manufacturing, but there's still a lot of energy being used on that line for equipment that's plugged in and running and not obviously not, again, like the air conditioner I described before, not doing anything useful for the organization. So really, there's a host of ways you can go with that visualization piece. You know, another big fundamental piece of this is simply tying the energy and operational metrics from all these assets into the Maximo system itself. So I'll flip ahead to the next chart, chart 6, to continue that discussion. But really this part of it is focused on how you can take this new information, this new source of information, and make better decisions from an asset management point of view. So one of those would be, you know, I want to create a service request to have someone go, if I observe that air conditioner I described before that is running, you know, clearly out of spec, it's you know, not only is it not doing anything useful, I could argue that it's actually harming the environment by the air around it by warming it. So let's get a service request open and get an engineer out there to go take a look at that. Maybe they need to shut it down, or could be that it's spitting out warmer air because nobody's done the required maintenance on it and it's 6 months overdue for a filter change or those sorts of things. So, you know, by getting that kind of information and tying it into the your Maximo processes, in that case, maybe you do a condition monitoring on that air conditioner unit. And when I found out that it's no longer performing, it would trigger, you know, someone to go out and take a look at that filter, and maybe they discover at that point that there's an improvement they could make. And that, you know, extends the life of the asset. It increases its energy efficiency. It reduces the risk that it's going to fail while you're in bed at 2 a.m. and have to come in and do some work on it. So that kind of condition monitoring can help you to figure out when these things are going to fail before they actually fail, which is a very valuable thing as well. It's analogous to, you know, if you're driving your car and all of a sudden, you know, the miles per gallon drop by 20%. Most of us may not even realize that if it happened. I know I have a readout on my dashboard that shows it if I flip to that feature, but I may not even realize it. But if I had a tool constantly telling me, you know, wow, Chris, your energy, your miles per gallon just dropped, you know, 20%, I'd know to go to the mechanic, wouldn't I? Or something is wrong. Maybe the fuel filter's clogged, or who knows, the air in the tires just was deflated. I mean, it could be a safety issue, it could be an efficiency issue, but you get the idea. I mean, that can apply to many, many assets across the enterprise. I think the what you see with this is tying this whole issue of energy efficiency to the service management processes and capabilities we have can be a very powerful thing. With Chart 7, I want to give you an example of some of the new analytics that we're providing with the product. So this is actually one that would help you identify that air conditioning piece. The air conditioning is such a large expense for so many of our clients that we've put some extra work into this to the point where what you see in this map is actually not just a map of the temperature, which we showed you before, and Tom can show you again in the demo different ways of mapping metrics, but this is actually an analytic that's identifying the zones of influence for the air conditioning systems. And then when it identifies those zones of influence, it can tell us how efficiently those units are running and how much they're being utilized. And in this case, if you look at that map, what you'll actually see is that you've got three zones, three different air conditioning unit zones that are running very, very low capacity, while right next to it you've got some green zones that are running, you know, within their comfortable capacity. So you could look at this report and start to say, well, maybe I could just shut down, you know, one of the ones that's very underutilized and let one of the others take over. So there's those kinds of things. We've gone into situations where there were 12 air conditioning units and all running, and we were able to shut down five of them because of, you know, this kind of report and this kind of analytics. So that can be a very powerful thing. We'll continue to build out the analytics and the tool, but this is one that is kind of an early, you know, one of the early examples of some of the intelligence we could apply to this. I'm moving ahead to Chart 8 on the web conference. What you'll see here is that we're really leveraging a broad partner ecosystem to bring this energy management story together. So as you look across the bottom, you'll see that we have different domains of assets, right? They could be anything from IT assets like servers to data center infrastructure assets like UPS battery backup units or power distribution units. They could be building infrastructure, so anything you might find in a typical building management system. And it could be any kind of asset out in the enterprise. We've done deals where we've worked on cellular towers with some of the largest telco providers in the world, where we're bringing the energy and environmental metrics in from the cell tower and tying that to some operational metrics and facilities management of those towers. So there's a lot of ways you can go with it. But what you see essentially with those domains is they all come together in a centralized place. They come together in a Tivoli data warehouse, which is actually included with Maximo for Energy Optimization 7.1.1. So you've got that collection capability and the warehouse included. And from there, we raise that up and do a number of analytics. So those analytics allow you to do the kind of visual analytic like we just showed before with the different zones of air conditioning influence and that sort of thing. But there's also just standard reporting and that sort of thing that would come along with it. So, you know, that's kind of a picture of how all the data could be consolidated, you know, tied together with the assets that they're supporting, and you can run, you know, you could put KPIs on the start center, for example, and that show you things like, you know, how many of my, if I'm the guy that is responsible for the ACs, how many of those air conditioning units are running efficiently? Maybe that's the thing I see first when I start my start center, or maybe it's, if I'm responsible for the whole building, it is a measure of, you know, where am I at today in terms of overall power consumption, right? If I'm in the red zone, that gives me a clue I may need to go figure out what's consuming so much energy today. So really the KPIs and the kinds of things you could put together for your customers around this is limitless, really, to meet their needs. I'm moving ahead then to Chart 9. Some of the other areas that become really interesting in this space are other parts of the Tivoli portfolio and the IBM portfolio that we can tie together to make a complete solution for the customer. So the core capabilities are kind of bringing those domains that you'll see again across the bottom, the different domains of assets, together so that you can do some centralized views and graphical views and the kinds of things we've talked about. And then as you look around the wheel, you'll see, you know, different capabilities you could bring to bear depending on the type of you know, issue you were dealing with your customer. So if the customer is very concerned about, and many of them are, about the fact that all this energy is being consumed and no one's being held accountable for it, you could actually bring other Tivoli products to bear that are integrated with this solution to do financial accounting for energy. In this case, that's called Tivoli Usage and Accounting Manager. It's a product we've had around for a while. Now we've enabled it to do financial accounting for energy because we're capturing all these metrics, and you can start to parse out who's actually using this, and maybe we should be charging the organizations or the customers or, you know, whoever runs the particular part of the business for that energy that they're using. In some industries, you'll find that profitability of a service can be affected by how much it costs to run it from an energy point of view. So those kinds of things come into play for profitability even, and figuring out how much energy something takes to run. You know, the physical infrastructure piece is another one I'll call out here. So I think a lot of you, or most of you, I hope, have, or all of you, I hope, have heard about the Maximo DSIM product, Data Center Infrastructure Manager. We've seen great success in selling this Maximo for Energy Optimization product along with the Maximo DSIM product. There's a lot of complementarity there that go together to work very, very well within a data center context. So that's a great combination of products too. So this is, you know, again, showing you different ways that you could bring other parts of the Tivoli portfolio into these to make them larger deals. You look at the integration of IT and facilities events. So I've got, you know, I've probably got someone somewhere in the organization that's managing a number of IT events for my organization. I've probably got someone else who's running and managing a lot of facilities-related events. There's oftentimes a play to bring those two together. Why do I have separate operations centers for my building and my IT? Couldn't they be together? And, in fact, if they are together, I can start to do things more intelligently and see what the root cause of something might be, whether it's really a, you know, programmatic thing, a server failure, an air conditioning failure, that sort of thing. So that's kind of a data center-focused one, but that one can be very good as well. And even just on the facility side, having a common event management that would run across, say I have one building running on Siemens and another on Johnson Controls and yet another running on Honeywell, you know, maybe I could bring all of those events together into one place, even if it's just a facilities consolidation. That can be a powerful story. So that, you get the idea that, of some of the different ways. Obviously, the tie to just your standard EAM or your TAMIT would be very strong ties as well. So there are a lot of opportunities to include this or to grow the deal based on it. I'm going to cover just a few things that are key, kind of the key facts with 7-1-1. To let you know what's new or what's changed. You know, as I mentioned before, it came out in September. The EGA date was actually September 17th based on the TPA 7117 platform. It is a separate product, although it can very easily coexist, and I just told you I think it should coexist with other products like EAM or SRM or CCMDB. You know, those would all, this would go right along with those, so you can sell it separately or hopefully sell it together. The sales bundling for this piece, so I've mentioned that the energy monitoring piece is actually in this tool now. It's a big change. So before, to really enable Maximo for Energy Optimization to work at its fullest, you had to have ITM for Energy Management. That's still true, but now it's actually in the box. So there's a lightweight version of it that's primarily a data collector. So we took some of the functionality out, but we left the functionality in that we thought was most critical. And so it eliminates that as a hard prerequisite. You've got, you know, the functionality you need to get going with this product right out of the box, so it can be more of a standalone sale. The sales team for 7-1-1 moved to the EAM sellers. It's been that way since for the second half of this year. So there may, you know, as this was originally more of an IT focused product when the first release was doing more collection from servers and that sort of thing. As that's changed to include more of the things I showed you with Johnson Controls and Honeywell and the like, you know, the sales team has moved from an IBM point of view to the EAM team. The one other thing, you know, this is actually leveraging IBM research. So with the 7-1-1 product and a lot of the analytics, we're continuing to work very closely, and I think there's reason to be optimistic about the ability to work with IBM research and the ability for them to help us bring new functions to this. In fact, if, you know, I think if you run into a customer that has a particular challenge in a space that hasn't been as explored as some of the others, IBM Research would probably love to engage with you on a deal to help build that thing in. And that's the kind of thing they have a large appetite for, and they're very invested in this product. Moving ahead to Chart 11, I just wanted to give a quick, I mentioned that lightweight version of ITM for energy management that ships here. I wanted to give you a quick definition of that. So the primary purpose is to be a data collector. It doesn't include some of the STG components that allow you to collect energy from the IBM hardware. So if you needed that capability, you'd still need to go pick up a full license of it. It doesn't really do anything with the IT data overall. So if you're wanting to do servers, storage, networking, you do need to pick up that full product. But we think, you know, for the lightweight version that we've got here, if you're focused on the facilities aspects of this in a building or otherwise, or even within the facilities side of the data center, then this should give you what you need. Some of the energy dashboarding and reporting capabilities don't ship with the product, but like I said, you can do a lot with just building KPIs and that sort of thing into Start Center. However, if you find that you want a more comprehensive enterprise-wide energy dashboard or something like that, that may cause you to step up to the full. So that kind of gives you a sense for most of it's there in terms of the data collection. Some of the additional features are not shipped within Maximo for energy optimization, but they can certainly be obtained by buying the full version of that product. So this chart 12 then shows you a picture of that, which I'm not going to spend a lot of time on, but it just kind of parcels out what you're going to get. The in the blue boxes are what you're going to get with Maximo for energy optimization. The red are the things, the pieces of the architecture that you're not going to get unless you would step up to the full product, the full ITM for energy management product, I should say. But we think this is really going to make a big difference because now you've got one product that really can, you know, accomplish quite a lot. And there are certainly some situations where you'd want to pick up both products together separately, but for the most part, this should do what you need. So I'm going to turn it over to Tom then on chart 13 to pick up.
Okay, thanks, Chris. Some basic things for those familiar with Maximo and how the products work. I just wanted to point out a couple things. So our install is no different than a Maximo install or a CCMDB or SRM. You know, you have the launchpad with the middleware installer, and then you have the product and language packs. ITM for EM, that portion of the bundle, is a separate install. So there are two installs in that regard. A couple other just comments. We obviously have integration between MEO and ITM, and we leverage the integration framework. So just wanted to make people aware. Especially for people who might be implementers, services people, knowledge of the integration framework is definitely a help in terms of the implementation phase of the product. And there's one specific technical requirement on the client side in order to support the applet, which is the view of the maps that we have, requires a JRE of 169 or higher. So that's just a point to mention. If I move to slide 14, Chris, you need to make me the presenter? Okay, thank you. This is just a high-level architecture slide, and so what you're seeing at the bottom is Maximo, obviously, and in the middle is ITM for EM, and then at the tops are the sources of where we collect from. As Chris mentioned on the you know, I use this slide for a wide variety of demos. So on the top left, that IBM AEM director, so those are not in the bundle. We do support them. We do have what we call mappings out of the box for those products, but that's something if you upsell, you know, to the full ITM and included AEM director. But the sensor data itself can come from agents that are built for JCI, Siemens, APC, RF code are examples of some. ITM for EM also has what they call a toolkit, an agent builder, where they can, you know, services could go in and build additional agents for sensor data that may not be supported out of the box. And then the integration to Maximo, like I said, we leverage the integration framework, and where we're concentrating on, if you will, or where we're really focused on in terms of the Maximo world, is in the area of locations and assets. So this sensor data is coming in. The data from these sensors, you know, basically initiate the creation of assets, association to meters, and then ultimately the meter readings for those assets. Chris, if you can jump to the next slide. So on slide 15, this gets you a little bit lower. Again, at the top are the data, you know, the sensor data and ITM collecting data, and then down the bottom, you can see we basically have two CRON tests. So we're leveraging Maximo's CRON test, and we're using the integration framework to load data. And one CRON test basically creates the assets and associates those assets to meters. So an asset, you know, a sensor, a common thing you'll see is a sensor, let's just say an RF code sensor that's mounted in a room, maybe collecting humidity and temperature. That's fairly common. And so in the Maximo world, we would create that sensor as an asset, and then we would associate it to two meters, one for humidity, one for temperature. And then the other CRON task is the one that actually pulls the metric data itself, so the sensor data. So one is to create assets. You know, obviously creating assets and associating to meters would happen as new assets come online and being monitored. But the second CRON task would actually be the one that's running continuously or on a frequency that makes sense, where you might be collecting this data from ITM, you know, as often as they collect it. You know, it could be every 10 minutes, every half hour, whatever the configuration is. You know, again, they're CRON tests, so you can configure those that data, that pull of that data, however often it's appropriate. And then, you know, to the right side of the diagram, you know, that data, again, we're bringing it in, we're leveraging all the existing Maximo components. So, you know, by putting them as meter readings, you can use existing condition monitoring, escalation capabilities, KPIs to produce, you know, produce events and notifications, et cetera, just like you would in a normal Maximo implementation. And what we'll see is that our asset and locations applications, you know, provide the visualization capabilities. Next slide, Chris. Or is that the last one? Oh, okay. So this slide, if you download, this is just a some information of some recordings. So the first one is a short recording that I did of the basic functionalities of the new features in 7.1, the maps. So you can look at that. I guess it'll be similar to what we're recording here today. The bottom one is I recently did a T-Tech Go training session a few weeks ago. So this is really something for an implementer. You know, it goes into pretty heavy detail on implementing the product, configuring the Maximo side of the implementation. How do you pull data from ITM? How do you map the data? I try to cover an example where I'm collecting data that we don't support out of the box. So I talk about how you would do a mapping of that data. So it's obviously lengthy, it's about 4 hours, but for an implementer, it would be a good source of knowledge to pick up. So I just wanted to provide that link to people. I think that's my last slide, and I would jump to the demo. Is that correct, Chris?
Yes, I'll hand control over to you so that you can...
Okay, so for people on the phone, if you're not in that Lotus Live meeting, you should jump in now, because the only way you'll see this is by being in the live meeting. I'll give people a minute to join.
Hey, Tom, I think you have the...
Okay, yeah, I have it. So I'm going to start sharing. My screen should come up in a second. And if someone can just let me know, they can see my locations application. Can anybody see this? Chris, can you see it?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Okay, I'll get started here. So where I'm starting from is the Maximo Locations application. And when I do this demo, I'm going to demo using these two locations. So what I'm trying to simulate here is one is a data center and one's more of a facility type space. Now, some background, in this environment, it's a demo environment. I'm not connected to a live ITM in this environment. I am just my demo. It's a like self-contained demo environment on my local Maximo is running on my laptop. So let me jump in to my location. So for those of you familiar with Maximo, I'm assuming most are, we did some minor enhancements in the locations, the locations app to collect some additional information about the physical space that we're talking about. So when you talk about these maps, we're always talking about a map per location. So, a location, let's say it's inside the four walls, and it's a location where we'll render the different maps within that space. So we're doing it one location at a time. That is, if you're thinking about, multiple locations and location hierarchy, we are thinking about that as part of our future plans, but at the moment, it's when you look at a map, it's on a per-location basis. So we have some, properties related to the size of the map and some unit of measures on how we're collecting the layout and the viewing of the heat temperatures. So you can see we have added a new tab, the floor plan tab. And here, I'll increase the size, make it as big as we can make it here. So in here, I'm looking at a layout map. So what the layout is, if I just step back for a second, it's the size of the location based on those properties I mentioned earlier. And inside here, you see in the background, I'll zoom in the background, there's an underlying grid. Again, we did start from a data center perspective, so the grid was in part comes from that point. Because in a data center, usually the tile floor is the raised floor with 2x2 tiles. Regardless, in this environment, so the grid's there, it does give you a perspective in terms of measurement. So what I'm laying out here is just a bunch of assets. Each symbol here represents an asset. And if I click on an asset, it shows you some of the properties down below here. The asset number description, serial number if it had it, if I'm specifying which direction it's facing, and then its XYZ coordinates. So a key point there, so what we're saying is when you're placing assets in the location and trying to represent them on your floor plan, your assets are positioned off of a coordinate, an XY coordinate. In the picture, the bottom left is the 0, 0 coordinate. But we're always working from that 0, 0 coordinate when we position assets. And if you look in here, basically I'm representing different assets. So what this layout, where it came from is, it was a layout of a facility. It's actually an education facility where they teach trades. And it's actually a location where they do welding, some foundry type work in a machine shop. So the idea here is to just lay out equipment. Now, I have tweaked it a bit just to try to help demo some features, but in general, this is the layout. The other thing I'll point out here to simulate the demo, I put in sensors. So in this case, I've just represented sensors. They show us the small red circles here. And they're the ones, they're the assets, in this case, they're the assets that have the temperature readings or the humidity readings, whatever temperature sensor, types of sensors they are. So they're placed physically wherever in the location that I chose to place them. But I also want to mention, and I'll show you a data center's view in a bit, these sensors could be part of the equipment. So in case your asset itself has sensors built into them, they could be represented as part of the asset. So you may have an asset Like in the case of a data center, you may have a data center, a rack server, and embedded in the rack server are sensors for the ambient and exhaust temperatures. So those are actually part of the asset. So it's one asset with two meters. In this case, for these are what we call freestanding sensors where they're just mounted. They could be mounted on a wall, in the ceiling, just basically anywhere within the location. So looking at the list of maps we have here, just to the point of the release, so when we did the first release, the 7.1 release, we basically had the layout and the heat map, and that was it. In this release, we've added these four maps, and I'll go through all the different maps, but just to give you a perspective on what we've added since the first release. So let's start with the heat map. And again, so what I'm looking at here is the location and temperature data spread across the location. Again, if you look at this, stepping back to the tab itself, you know, from this horizontal line, this is, you know, that applet I talked about requiring the higher version of the JRE. So this is the code, if you will, that we're leveraging from IBM Research and the analytics they provide underneath. So obviously here, this is the heat map, and it obviously can highlight to a user, hot and cold spots across the location where you may be overcooling, undercooling, just general temperature conditions across the entire location. So this data and this map is using basically, you know, we collect the sensor data from ITM, and it's a continuous collection based on the configuration of the Crontask, and this map can refresh based on a configuration however often you need it to refresh. So if it's kind of a, I don't want to say a dashboard, but if it's something that's a console-type thing where people are just keeping it up and running, it would refresh itself and reflect the change in temperature conditions as they occurred through the sensor readings. A couple of features on this map, and they apply to actually a few maps. First of all is this horizontal, the crosshairs, you can move those around, and as you do, it's not only showing you the temperature, the bottom section here is showing you that temperature, the temperature readings at a what we call a vertical slice. So it's looking at that point and looking at the temperatures from floor to ceiling. So this just gives you another view of that data. As well, you can change the main view to be viewing the data at different heights. So as you move around the data center, the values may change based on height. Now, I know in my setup, I probably put a lot of the sensors at the same height, so as I move around, I don't get a lot of variation. But in some of our live implementations at some of the IBM data centers, you know, they see that as they move up and down, you know, they'll see change. You know, obviously, the higher the height, you tend to see more heat. One other thing here is over here, I have the ability to shift the layers. So all these maps are basically layers, and using these buttons allow me to, like, rotate the layers on top of each other. So in this case, I brought what we call the layout layer on top of the heat layer. And if I can reverse and go back and bring the heat back on top. That's just some usability around the map itself. So let me drop out the heat and bring in the humidity. So again, this is the same thing, and I didn't mention on the heat, but as you mouse around, it's showing you the readings wherever your mouse is placed. So in this case, I'm showing humidity, and on the scale to the right, you can see as it gets greenish, you know, that means more humidity. So if you're, you know, I think Chris mentioned, if you're in an environment where humidity is an issue, whether it be too high or too low, you know, you can identify that you may have, you know, problems with your cooling system such that it's creating too high of humidity or maybe too low of humidity. So in this example, like if you had an area where you were doing, you know, painting, some kind of painting, you'd likely be sensitive to humidity, and you might be using this to just monitor that and make sure that you're keeping appropriate levels given the work you're trying to do. So let me jump out and let me go to the hot and cold spot map. So this map is a little different. It leverages the temperature data. So it leverages the data you see inside the heat map, for instance. But what it's really geared towards is specific areas that you want to monitor because they're sensitive. And it was initially driven by a need to monitor. It started as a data center specific use case around monitoring the inlet temperatures in front of a rack. But our vision is that it could be used in other areas, and I tried to lay out a couple. So if you think about areas where it's sensitive to temperatures, obviously, what I put here is an example is an open refrigeration. So if you see my cursor here and you see those three numbers, so let me just explain those. So this in yellow, the 77.9, so that's actually the reading of the temperature at that spot. The red number is an upper threshold I've configured, and the blue number, the 68 degrees, is a lower threshold. So I'm configuring thresholds for my – these thresholds are for the entire location. And, those might be broad thresholds within the data center or within your location, not just data center, just any location that you're monitoring that you want to keep, measure against. But on top of that, you may think, okay, at this point, there's certain areas where I need to track it more closely. So one example here is open refrigeration. So let's say you had a use case where, they had refrigeration and they're monitoring the temperature. I mean, they may be monitoring it for two reasons. One is, am I overcooling it and wasting energy because I'm just throwing out too much cold air? I don't need to throw it out that much. Or is it getting too warm near an area? Yesterday I was talking to a customer and they have, they store materials, they're chemical-type materials, and they're temperature-sensitive. So something like this would be applicable to them where, if I looked at this in the heat map, the temperatures might look fine, but when I want to look at it for a specific area, I want to have better control and better visibility to the temperature readings in front of those devices. So what you see is as I mouse over that area in front of the device, look at my thresholds, the red and blue numbers, they've changed. So I'm basically saying when I'm in front of this refrigeration unit, I don't want the temperature to be above 70 and I don't want it to be below 65 or 64.9, let's say. So, in that range, that's where it's optimal, where I have enough cooling, but I don't have too much. So as the example I laid out, for this demo, I'm just showing that, in this part of the refrigeration, we're actually, too much cooling is on the left side, and if I scroll to the right, the cooling is not enough. So maybe there's a problem with that unit where it's not dispersing the air appropriately across the entire unit. So it's highlighting that to you. So that you may not see something like that in the heat map because it's just a broad view, but here you're highlighting that and making that visible to the user that there's a problem, and they may want to look into something like that because you're not getting the proper cooling evenly across the entire unit.
Hey, Tom, we have one question coming in on the chat associated with the web conference, and that's around what is the graphical tool that you're using here for this visualization of the data? And I would say to anyone else that wants to throw a question our way while we continue with the demo within the web conference, you can do that through the chat function. I'll be watching it. But do you want to address that?
Yeah, this is just it's from IBM Research, as I said, and it's just a Java applet. So it's a Java applet. Let me change my view here. It's a Java applet. Scroll up here, placed within a new tab on the asset application. So I'm still in the Maximo framework. We've just added a tab, but it's a Java applet placed inside this new tab on the application. And Chris, just let me know as questions pop up.
I will do.
I did the same thing here down at the bottom. I'll just scroll down there a bit. A similar thing, if you had storage area in that storage area is sensitive to temperatures. You could do the same thing where you could set thresholds. I guess the one thing I didn't mention is, you know, this storage area, this representation of the storage area is an asset in Maximo. And the way we're doing these thresholds at the asset level is we're using classifications. So we're using Maximo classifications. So if you create your assets using some kind of, you know, some kind of classification structure that may be already in place, they could add specific attribute values, and basically an upper and lower threshold for this map, and set values. And basically that what that allows them to do is to set threshold values for a group of assets, like a bunch of servers or a bunch of air conditioning units, refrigeration units in this example. But it also lets you, you know, those, if you're familiar with Maximo, once you assign the classification, those attributes copy down to the asset itself, and that gives you the ability to set the values on a per asset basis. So you can do it at a group of assets starting with the classification, but then go even lower to its individual asset and set it on a per asset basis. So that's how those thresholds are implemented. Okay. Let me drive into the next map, which is the sensor map. So this map is really just this is a map that's a kind of a raw display of data. So I think the key here is, you know, if you think about what you've seen in our visualization, a lot of the visualization we have, is definitely around temperature and humidity. That's primarily in terms of these types of maps. This map is basically, I call it like a generic map. It applies to any types of sensors. So this is the one map where you can bring in sensors. You know, let's say you get in an implementation and they're collecting, and I'll use this example because I just manually added it in this setup. The carbon monoxide sensors. If you got into an implementation where they had carbon monoxide sensors and you wanted to include those and monitor those in Maximo, then you could come in and add those sensors. You know, first of all, there's a number of different steps you do, but they're all configuration where you add those sensors to the collection, to the Crontas to collect them. And then in Maximo, you do some configuration by building and updating some domains to reflect the meters that you want to visualize in this map. And when you do that, then those readings come in and are visualized on this map. So if you look at this drop down here, the sensor types, so if you look at this list, each one of those groupings of sensors is tied to a domain. And in the domain is the list of meters, the meters that you have tied to your assets. So the temperature domain would list, we have basically a handful of temperature meters. You know, they may be Celsius and Fahrenheit depending on what you're collecting from the from ITM, from the agent. But it's a list of it's a domain with a list of meters, and that this application or this map, if you will, uses that domain to drive what's populated. So I could come in here. I know in this case I have only carbon monoxide temperature and humidity. So what I've done though is I've filtered down and I'm only looking at my carbon monoxide sensors. And now so I can visualize, so I know where the sensors are and I can visualize the current readings. Now, similar to the prior map, you also have the capability in this case to set thresholds for these sensors. And again, we do it using classifications, and you can bring it down to the asset level. So what I did is I went to Google and I looked up carbon monoxide thresholds, and what I found was that at 70 parts per million, that's when people start to become ill. So I just put in a threshold of 70. For my demo's sake, and what I did, or 69, I think, and what I'm showing here is one of these sensors is reporting in red because it's above my threshold, and then one is reporting in green because it's below that upper threshold. You can also set a lower threshold. I'm not sure that applies for carbon monoxide, but for cooling it might, because if you go below a lower threshold, you know, you could, that could be a condition where you're overcooling, thus you're wasting energy. So you can see that with the temperature sensors where I have some in blue. The blue means they're too cold. The red means they're too hot. So you have this capability. And again, kind of the key point here is you can bring these sensors in, you know, using the core configuration of Maximo. And even if it's not a sensor we support out of the box, it can be done through configuration and not customization. I know that's always kind of a key point when you're talking to customers about an implementation. And just to take this a step further, I'm going to go back to my start center. Because in this example, what I did, and I think Chris talked to this a bit, is I created a KPI and a result set that monitored those CO meters, the carbon monoxide meters, and I just reported them out. So I'm using standard Maximo features configuration to just show them. So as an operator, I may have this on my start center, and I can immediately see if some sensors are running above. I even did a configuration where I used an escalation, and I, using an escalation and an existing action that's provided with Maximo and a COM template, I automatically generated a service request for this condition and sent an email to myself. So, you know, again, the point here in talking to this point is this is all stuff you can configure in Maximo, because we, you know, we place this data in Maximo the way it should be placed. It's assets with meters and meter reading, so you can leverage escalations. I could have done it with condition monitoring. I just chose to use escalations as well. I even wrote a real cryptic report here, not too fancy, but what I did is I went out and then I just dumped the meter readings for this specific asset. The point being, okay, I wanted to just see, okay, what's the trend on this specific asset? How long did it take? I mean, at what point did this thing start going, you know, above the threshold? So here I can just see, obviously the dates are a little low, but I could see my pattern that I was running in the low 60s, and then at some point I jumped up. So just to give the operator an idea of, you know, how long did this problem, you know, when did this problem start occurring? You know, and that may help in you know, the diagnostics and trying to figure out, you know, the cause of the problem and hopefully a resolution. And that, so I just wanted to mention that. So let me jump back to locations. I wanted just, there was one map I didn't jump into, and that was the data center map. So I want to view one map, and I want to use data center as the example here, just because it probably applies a little bit better. I mean, actually, there's two things I want to show. And this part is not data center specific, but let's say I'll just bring up the heat map. And let's just say, you know, in this environment, I've configured some equipment. So I want to, one point here, and this is a rack, so I'm selecting a rack, and let's say there was a hot spot there or a cold spot, whatever, a spot, and I was concerned about it. I could select that asset and then go in and drill into what's inside that asset. Now, in the case of a rack, you know, it's obvious the benefits. You can see all the rack servers in the rack, all the different equipment that could be sensors, et cetera, inside. But this could apply in a facilities example as well. If there's assets within assets that are being, you know, there's multiple assets and some are contained within others and you're tracking them. In this case, in a case of a rack with rack servers, I even potentially have temperature data for each of those specific devices, so I can see the most current readings of temperature for the different rack servers. There's also a freestanding sensor. I'm also seeing a PDU inside that rack. I don't get data for it in terms of temperature data or humidity, but it's just showing me the contents of the rack. So I just wanted to point that out. But let me come back to this.
So, Tom, one other thing I would point out on that point is if you're in any kind of situation, you can jump right to the maximum information about the asset. So if I wanted to see spare parts or, you know, the user manual or just know who owns the device, that sort of thing, maybe that goes without saying, but that's a nice feature here, too, is you can jump right from the map to any of that kind of information.
Right. So I'll do it here. So if for some reason I thought this specific rack server was an issue, I could click on this guy, and this is going to launch me over to the asset application with this asset current. You would see all the information about the asset. I obviously don't have much loaded here. But actually, that's a good point, and I didn't show it. So in terms of assets themselves, if you look at this bottom section of the asset application, this is new. In MEO, you wouldn't see this in EAM or the other products. So this is some additional properties for an asset that we leverage inside the floor plan. So we're obviously tracking the type of equipment it is, in this case a rack server. There's the coordinate positions of where it's located, the direction it's facing, and also the physical size of the asset. A label as well, that's in that layout map where I had labels on this representing like the storage or refrigeration, that's the label that you see. And then these key values, that's data if you're bringing it from a live ITM, that data would be filled in. In this case, I didn't, but that's additional data. As well, so if I, another potential use here is, if you're in a live floor plan, again, a data center is a pretty good example, and I have a specific rack server I'm dealing with, if I click the floor plan, what it's going to do is tell me where that is. So down here, you can see my rack is highlighted. So it's helping me locate the equipment. Because that rack is inside this, that rack server is inside this rack, it's highlighted. And that's just, you know, in a large area where there's lots of assets, lots of equipment, that can help you help you with that location of the asset. A couple of things here, we really didn't have it in the other view, is just so you're aware, like down here, these grid tiles that have the crosses in them, those represent perforated floor tiles. So in a data center, that's obviously important, and that's why those tiles have that, you know, that visualization, if you will, that type of symbology there, just to point that out. But let me zoom back out and go back to the last map, and this was similar to one Chris kind of covered earlier. So this is the crack zone map, and this is really looking at the different crack zones inside a data center. So in this data center, the air conditioning units are running, and depending on their capacity and how fast their fan speeds are running, and then, you know, there are variable fan speeds for different units depending how new they are. This is analytics that, you know, research did to basically determine how big the area of influence each crack unit is. And again, it's what's taken into account is primarily the fan speed and the capacity of the crack unit itself, but also the number of perforated floor tiles, because that's obviously where the cool air is being dispersed into the room. So what you could do is, and just to show you an example, and again, this is data center specific, but down the bottom here, so this is a crack zone, and what it's showing you for this asset, that's crack asset, its utilization is in red because it's below 50%, you know, which basically means it's running, but it's really not working as hard as it could. In a data center environment, a lot of times they target to run at 85%, and that's a common target that they run at. And so anything below 50 is considered underutilized. You know, from 50 to 65 is the yellow, that's considered reasonable but not as efficient as possible, and then above 65 getting to 85 is reported in green. We are considering adding a color for above 85%, because when you get above 85%, now you're going to the max, and that may not be what you want to do, because a lot of times, you know, they're trying to use an algorithm, if you will, of being able to work, if one of them goes down, the remaining can satisfy the area, so they like to leave that 15% capacity for that type of condition. But, and just to show you as an example, I'm going to pull up that crack acid, the 13184, which is this guy. And in the specification, so here we're leveraging some of these properties. We're leveraging specifications to hold some of the properties. So at this point, when we do this map, we're using the live sensor data for the temperatures, the return and discharge, but we're not yet using live readings for some of these other properties. That's what we see coming down the road. So we're using spec values at this point. But the point here is if I turn off the fan, so basically I'm eliminating that crack. I'm basically shutting it down. I'm turning the fan speed to zero. That, in effect, shuts it down. So if I zoom back out, I basically lost that crack zone, and the other crack zones near it expanded to cover that area. Now, what you don't see is when that happens in a real world, what happens is those remaining crack units should start see improving utilization because the temperatures, they'll be cooling more space, so the differential in their supply and return temperatures will be greater because warmer air will start coming into the crack because there's more space that they're covering, and that in turn increases their utilization. So I just wanted to cover this map with this example because I think it's more relevant. I guess at this point I'll stop. You know, I've been through all the maps, I guess why don't we turn and see if there's any questions about any of the maps, if you want me to step back and step through some specific features or have just any general questions about implementation or anything else regarding the product.
So, Kelly, could you please open us up to questions at this point?
Yes, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1. To withdraw your request, star 2. Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. One moment, please.
Great. And while we collect the questions, there is one in the chat, and that is asking us, you know, given that you can sell this separate, the question is basically getting at what maintenance and asset management functions are in MEO, like PM, inventory, procurement, and you know, maybe the list of all the included features and functions.
Yeah. I don't have the complete list in front of me, and don't, I guess I'll caution my demo by saying don't follow what you see if I pull down the Go menu. I have a development environment that has everything. So what I'll say is this, you know, you get a lot of the work management features, but not PMs. You don't get purchasing and inventory. Those are two, you know, I would say big pieces that you don't get in MEO. You get all the configuration apps, all of integration. You get, obviously, assets, locations, classifications, all the basics that you saw me using. Let me just drop down the go-to. You wouldn't get anything from the TAMET perspective. Obviously, you get any of the base level stuff that you need to just run maximal security. You know, like I said, system config stuff. You get work management. You get workflow. You get the service desk features. I mean, if someone wants to email me, I do have a list, product management I put together, that does, you know, basically goes through the go-to menu and all the apps and I can give you the sketch of the specific list, but that's approximately, you know, I think the key things there are purchasing and inventory are not included. Those are big items that are not included. Most of work management is. Hopefully that answers the question at this point.
Once again, to ask a question, please press star 1. There are no questions at this time.
Okay. So I guess we're going to close it out. Just so you know, again, it's Chris Dittmer It's my short name, C. Dittmer, C-D-I-T-T-M-E-R, at us.ibm.com. So please reach out to me if you have any further questions, and I can connect you with Tom if need be, depending on the type of question. Thanks for joining us today. And we're here to help you as you go out and identify these opportunities to advance them with your clients. So please do let us know. Get us involved. We're glad to help in any way we can. So,
hey, Chris, I just add that, especially on the EAM side, we'd love to hear examples of the type of use cases you might see if you talk to customers in the EAM space, the type of use cases that are beyond the data center. That would be really helpful to us from a product direction perspective. So any information on that in that regard would be great.
Certainly, or analytics or that sort of thing too. Yeah, definitely not just the opportunities, but any kind of feedback on the kinds of analytics you think you'd need to win a deal would be really helpful too. Good point, Tom. So with that, I think we'll close it out. Thanks again. Take care,
everybody. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may disconnect at this time.